الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. أما بعد، in our last session we were disputing with the misguided individuals, those who try to apply human attributes to Allah using philosophy. And one of the main issues that we had with them is that every time we come across a name or attribute of Allah, they try to understand it in the same context they understand it in a human being. And when they find it difficult to understand it like that, then they deny it. We said this is the main disease. When you, any attribute, they try to imagine human beings. When it's not compatible, they say, okay, then it cannot be. So we had started this statement. They say to us, the Ash'arites and the Mu'tazilites and those people, not Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah, يقولون كيف تقولون إن الله ينزل. Right, we were discussing, the discussion was about Allah's descent. Actually, I had looked at the word up, so you see, as a non-native speaker, it is no descendant. Descendant actually is like the people who come after you, generations, like your descendants, your progeny. And I was using that term to mean descent, but it turned out that the correct English word is descent. So I'm making a correction there in right now. Descent, meaning Allah going down. Let's put it in basic terms. We were discussing that Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven every night at the last third of the night. And the people of innovation don't like that. Even though the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, and it is in clear words, يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, our Lord, our Master descends, they say no. So they say to us, كَيْفَ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنزِلْ إِذَا نَزَلَ أَيْنَ الْعُلُوْ. Now they try to get philosophical. They say to us, how do you say that Allah descends? And if Allah descends, then where is the transcendency? Where is Allah's highness? Now, logic. Or what they think is logic, but is really nonsense. وَإِذَا نَزَلْ أَيْنَ الْإِسْتِوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. They say, if Allah descends, then how is He above the throne? Second argument. Thirdly, وَإِذَا نَزَلْ فَالنُّزُولُ حَرَكَ وَانْتِقَالِ. If you say Allah goes down, that indicates movement. Movement and transfer. Transferring from one location to another. وَإِذَا نَزَلَ فَالنُّزُولُ حَادِثٌ. And if you say Allah goes down, then this is a new event, an occurrence. وَالْحَوَادِثُ لَا تَقُومُ إِلَّا بِحَادِثٍ. Occurrences do not come into existence unless there's a reason behind it. And to them, all these cannot be applied to Allah. فَنَقُولُ هَذَا جِدَالٌ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَلَيْسَ بِمَانِعٍ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِحَقِيقَةِ النُّزُولِ. This is an argument that is based on falsehood. It is a false argument. And all that which you have mentioned does not negate the truth in the descent of Allah Azza wa Jal to the descendants of Allah Azza wa Jal, or descent of Allah Azza wa Jal to the lower seven. There is no contradiction between these two. هل أنتم أعلم بما يستحقه الله عز وجل من أصحاب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is very, very, very important to understand. You will ever be confused if you don't understand this. Do you have more knowledge of what Allah deserves than the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is it possible that we know more what is suitable, what is not, than the companions? No way. فأصحاب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قالوا هذه الاحتمالات أبدا. Beautiful. يا أخي, the companions of the Messenger of Allah never made these kind of claims. They never made these kind of suppositions. Well, what if? Supposed that. No such things. So, أبداً قالوا سمعنا وآمنا وقبلنا وصدقنا. On the other hand, they say we hear, we believe, we accept, and we confirm that which has been sent out. This was their attitude. No one came and said, O Messenger of Allah, how does Allah descend to the lower seven but He's above the throne? No one asked that. So is it possible that anyone today, including those deviant people, they are more knowing of Allah's right that we should free Allah from these, you know, things than the Sahaba? No way. They would have had that highest level of tasbih to Allah, of magnifying Allah above any imperfection. The Sahaba had that the most. No one that came after them. If they didn't have this discussion, then why are you supposing these? Why are you assuming A, B, C, D? If this, that means that. This is all philosophy that we learn from other nations. The Sahaba's attitude was Quran and the Sunnah as the clear apparent meaning of the text, khalas. There was no philosophy involved. Even though this was their language, they were more eloquent, more well-versed, more knowledgeable, more sincere. All of the qualities which you know, make him superior to everyone else were present in them. Still, never ever, in not even one incident, did any Sahabi ever question the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about any of the names and attributes of Allah. Everything was just clear. Even when the Messenger of Allah, as we will see in the coming narrations, he told them that Allah Azza wa Jal laughs. He laughs. They didn't say, what do you mean he laughs? Does that mean that he's happy? It doesn't mean that he's mercy. No one ever made that question. No one ever questioned him, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because they believed. And we will go back to the foundation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which will clarify any misconceptions. The Shaykh said then, وَأَنْتُمْ أَيُّهَا الْخَالِفُونَ الْمُخَالِفُونَ. Wonderful. Wonderful. تَأْتُونَ الْآنَ وَتُجَادِلُونَ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَقُولُونَ كَيْفَ وَكَيْفَ. You, the Shaykh said, now you, خَالِفُونَ, those who came after, like from Khalaf. Right, we have the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, Khalaf, those who came after them. He says, you who are later in terms of generation, مخالفون, and you are in opposition as well, you're contradicting the previous generations, now you come and you argue in falsehood and you say, how and how? How and how did Allah do this and how did Allah do that? نحن نقول ينزل ولا نتكلم عن استوائه على العرش. هل يخلو منه العرش أو لا يخلو. We say we believe that Allah descends and we don't speak whether Allah is still above the throne or not anymore. We don't have this discussion. And the Shaykh will elaborate. أما العلو, as for transcendency, فنقول ينزل لكنه عال عز وجل على خلقه. Allah descends, however He is still above His creation. He is still transcendent above His creation. لأنه ليس معنى النزول أن الدماء تقله وأن السماوات الأخرى تظله إذ إنه لا يحيط به شيء من مخلوقاته. When we say Allah descends the lowest heaven, it does not mean that anything like the heavens will encompass Allah afterwards. You see what I'm saying? When we say Allah descends the lowest heaven, it doesn't mean that now the heavens are encompassing Allah. Rather, nothing encompasses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how that happens, again, Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Allahu a'lam. We believe. And we don't dwell into this. However, because of these innovators that came, it was necessary that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah will put together what you are reading and listening today. Otherwise, if each one of us was on the fitrah and he read the Quran, he would have no issues. But unfortunately, we have been, you know, contaminated with this sick approach that we were taught at young age usually. In some school we attended, where, you know, they teach us the deviant way, but they don't elaborate. That's what happens in the Muslim world. They just tell them, you know, we don't believe, no, Allah is none of that, and khalas, they leave the discussion. So now when you come tell someone this information, they're shocked. Like, what? You know, is this, you know, are you sure? Subhanallah, this is the truth. But we were not exposed to it at a young age. طيب. فنقول هو ينزل حقيقة مع علوه حقيقة وليس كمثل شيء. He descends in truth and he is above in truth because there's nothing like him. Subhanallah. Nothing like him, عز وجل. أما الاستواء على العرش فهو فعل. As for Allah rising above his throne is an action. ليس من صفات الذات. It is not a personal attribute of Allah, as we had discussed in previous lessons. وليس لنا حق فيما أرى. The Shaykh says, and we have no right, as what I see, أن نتكلم هل يخلو من العرش أو لا يخلو. To say, okay, is Allah still above the throne when He descends or not? He said, we don't have a right to have this discussion. We don't have a right to have this discussion. بل نسكت كما سكت عن ذلك الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. Rather, we remain silent as the Sahaba remained silent. This is the correct approach. Did they ever ask the Messenger of Allah, whether Allah is still above the throne when He descends? No, they didn't. So we don't. However, still the Salaf had three different positions concerning this matter, because of course the deviance that occurred among the Muslims. وَإِذَا كَانَ عُلَمَاءِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ عُلَمَاءِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ لَهُمْ فِي هَذَا ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْوَالٍ قَوْلٌ بِأَنَّهُ يَخْلُو وَقَوْلٌ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يَخْلُو وَقَوْلٌ بِالتَّوَقُّفِ. The ulama have differed. Some say that Allah Azza wa Jal is no longer above the throne when He descends to the lowest heaven, and others say that Allah Azza wa Jal he is still above the throne when He descends to the lowest heaven, and some say we don't say anything. We just hold back on this particular matter. The Shaykh will elaborate. Well, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, our Shaykh, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the big Shaykh of Islam, in his letter called Ar-Risala al-Arshiyya, the letter of the throne, يقول إنه لا يخلو منه العرش. He says that the throne does not become vacant, in a sense that Allah is still above the throne when He descends to the lowest heaven. لأن أدلة استواء العرش محكمة, because all the evidences which indicate Allah being above the throne are firm and fixed. They're in the Quran in seven different ayat of the book of Allah. The استواء is mentioned in the Quran. It's firm. It's not ambiguous. Remember we were dealing in the tafsir. Who was in the tafsir class? You were in the tafsir class. We were dealing with the muhkam and the mutashabih, the entirely clear ayat and those which are ambiguous. We also dealt with this in this book in earlier chapters. على كل حال والحديث هذا محكم, and this hadith is also entirely clear. So the ayat are entirely clear. The hadith which we have in Bukhari and Muslim is entirely clear. There's no ambiguity where you have to understand one in the light of the other, right? As in the issue of the ambiguous. Wallahu Azza wa Jal, and this is the crux, this is the core, this is the bottom line of everything. This is what we all need to understand. If you didn't learn anything in these classes, only this principle, I'm happy and satisfied. This, what I'm about to mention. Open your mind, your ears, your eyes. And that's enough. I don't think you need to open anything else. والله عز وجل لا تقاس صفاته بصفات الخلق. Allah's attributes are not to be compared, not to be understood in the same light of that of His creation. It's that simple. Finish. Once you know that, all of your problems are solved. Yes. In a human being, if this recorder is on top of the table and I say that it descends to the ground floor of this building, it's impossible for a recorder to do that, because this is human law, physics, creation of Allah. It's something Allah created in this fashion, and it cannot go against the law of Allah. Does the law of Allah apply on Allah? No, Allah created the law. So how do you want to apply Allah's creation on Allah when Allah is the creator of the creation? Ya Shaykh, it doesn't work. When you insist on doing so, you will have problems for sure. As you see, they're having problems. But if we're able to understand this foundation, you have no problem. Yes, it doesn't make sense for human beings, but it's not supposed to be like that with Allah. Don't try to make sense out of it with Allah, because you know what? Allah is nothing you imagined, and the laws of Allah which He created are not applicable to Him. Khalas, Subhanallah. I hope we understand this. Do we understand this? فيجب علينا أن نقل نصوص الاستواء على أحكامها. And this is from the, يعني, this is from the knowledge of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He was so good, that even when he dealt with these issues, look at this foundation he has. Because the other ones that the ulama try to explain will give room to who? To those who always distort the meaning. They say, you tell us that we should accept it as is, now you've given us another interpretation. With this, you don't have to do anything, never, you're not apologetic. There's no apologies for anyone. This is what it is. And we don't have to go further. This is from his knowledge, rahimahullah. Because some people try to say, yes, but you know, it's Allah's knowledge which is encompassing. You know, and these, you remember in the previous ayat, we say, no. Allah is above and near. How? No, there's nothing like Allah. You can do it, but don't be applying this on Allah. You see? So beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Rahimahullah bi rahmatihi al-wasi'ah adkhalu fasih al-jannat fil firdaws al-a'la. Naam. فيجب علينا أن نبقي نصوص الاستواء الأحكام. We keep then the verses, the ayat or the textual evidences about استواء, we keep them firm and entirely clear. ونص النزول على أحكامي, and the nass, the textual evidence concerning the descent, we keep it also as is. We don't try to explain one in the light of the other because they're both entirely clear. They're both محكم. ونقول هو مستوى على عرشه نازل إلى السماء الدنيا. نازل إلى السماء الدنيا. We say Allah is above His throne, descending to the lowest heaven. والله أعلم بكيفية ذلك. And Allah knows how this is done. We don't know. وعقولنا أقصر وأدنى وأحقر من أن تحيط بالله عز وجل. And our brains are shorter. He used أقصر, shorter in sight, in insight, and are beneath, below, and more feeble-minded for us to be able to encompass the greatness of Allah عز وجل. Don't think you little tiny brain that barely resolves a mathematical equation is going to be able to understand the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal and the application of these things to Him. If we're unable to sometimes make the simplest decision, sometimes people when they're driving, you know, they want to press on the brake, they step on the gas pedal, right, and psh, they crash into someone. That's how our brain sometimes will fail you at the most crucial moments. You can't control it. So we want with this tiny brain to understand everything and know how Allah does this and how, ya Shaykh, none of your business. If Allah wanted us to know how, that would have been revealed. It would have been taught. The Messenger of Allah would have told the Sahaba, listen to me, let me explain to you how Allah does ABC. And He would have told them. They never had this conversation. Meaning they believed and they remained silent. This is our approach and attitude. But because we have so many deviant people, we have to explain to them with all these other logical arguments, try to bring them only to understand and make sense out of what is being said. طيب. القول الثاني, the second statement, التوقف. They say we hold back. يقول لا نقول يخلو ولا لا يخلو. We neither say Allah is still above the throne, nor do we say that He is no longer above the throne. And the third opinion, أنه يخلو من العرش, that Allah عز وجل is no longer above His throne when He descends. وأورد المتأخرون الذين عرفوا أن الأرض كروية وأن الشمس تدور على الأرض إشكالا قالوا كيف ينزل في ثلث الليل في ثلث الليل وثلث الليل إذا انتقل عن المملكة العربية السعودية ذهب إلى أوروبا وما قربها أفيكون نازلا دائما. So he said, now in later times, those people after they finally discovered that the earth is round, right, you know, for the longest time they thought it was just flat, you just keep going and going and going. Now that they discovered it's round, and that it and that the sun, you know, it revolves around the earth, they said, okay, hold on a second. How can Allah descend to the last third of the night, when the last third of the night in the kingdom is at some time, and then the last third of the night moves to Europe, right, and neighboring countries? So is Allah always in the state of descent? So what do we say?
Nothing like this. Because we cannot compare the time zone that we are in.
The time? You cannot apply Allah's creation on Allah. This is for you and me. You can't be in two countries at the same time. You can't, you know, time changes. It cannot be new and more than one. But this is all human created laws. They don't apply on the creator of the law. Even in this world, usually the one who sets the law is above the law. Is above the law. Even among humans. You know, they say, this is my invention. It doesn't apply to me. You know, I'm the one who came up with this. You just have to deal with it. And this is among human beings. So Allah created everything and human beings want to apply everything on Allah. Everything that they understand in this limited, you know, limited understanding of theirs, they want to apply it on Allah. But it doesn't work this way. The Shaykh said, فَنَقُولْ آمِنْ أَوَّلًا بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَنزِلْ فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتِ الْمُعَيَّنِ وَإِذَا آمَنْتْ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٍ وَرَى ذَلِكَ. You believe first that Allah descends at that time in your time zone. And if you believe in that, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry, okay, what happens in Europe and what's happening in America and what's happening? What do you want? believe that Allah descends at that last third of the night. Take care of your personal business and khalas. Don't be getting philosophical in the deen of Allah and saying what if and what happens there and what happens. This is called tanattu'. And the Prophet ﷺ said, halaka al-mutanatti'un. Halaka al-mutanatti'un. Who are mutanatti'un? Those who are excessive and extreme in intricacy. Someone who makes a big deal out of nothing. Ya akhi, keep things simple. The matter is simple. Don't complicate it. What is the objective from this? Isn't it that you take advantage of this time when Allah descends to that lowest heaven? So Allah asks, who wants forgiveness? Who wants? Isn't that the objective? Or is the objective to take a physics class and gravity and say, okay, how? And this is not this is ibadah. This is worship. This is iman. This is spirituality. It is not chemistry and biology and physics. Where you try, and this is what happens to human beings. They become conceited. Allah gave them some knowledge, and now they think they're intelligent. They want to deny now everything that Allah revealed because their little minds don't understand what's going on. Subhanallah al-Azim. Ajib ibn Adam. Ajib. لا تقول كيف وكيف. Don't say how. بل قل إذا كان ثلث الليل في السعودية فالله نازل. Say rather, if it is the last third night, it's the last third of the night in Saudiya, then Allah Azza wa Jal has descended. وَإِذَا كَانَ فِي أَمْرِيكَ ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ يَكُونُ نُزُورُ اللَّهِ أيضًا. And if it's the last third night in America, then Allah Azza wa Jal descends also. وَإِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجْرِ. And when the Fajr comes, when Fajr is around, or where dawn comes, انتهى وَقْتُ النُّزُولِ فِي كُلِّ مَكَانِ بِحَزْبِهِ. The time of descent ends according to each time zone. إِذَا مَوْقِفُنَا أَن نَقُولُ إننا نؤمن بما وصل إلينا عن طريق محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that we say, we believe, our stance is that we believe in whatever has reached us from Muhammad the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. بأن الله ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الآخر من الليل. That Allah descends to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night begins. ويقول من يدعوني فأستجيب له. He will say, who calls me, so I can respond to him. من يسألني فأعطيه. Who's asking me, so I can grant him. ومن يستغفرني فأغفر له. And who is seeking my forgiveness, so I may forgive him. This is what we want. The Sheikh says, من فوائد هذا الحديث, among the benefits of this narration, أولا إثبات العلو لله من قوله ينزل. First, affirming Allah's transcendency, Allah being above, because the hadith says yanzil, he goes down, and you don't go down unless you are up. And this is among the ways we use, alaykum salam, these are among the evidences and the ways we use to prove our point that Allah is above from previous lessons and durus. ثانياً إثبات الأفعال الاختيارية التي هي الصفات الفعلية من قوله ينزل حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر. Affirming the actions, the actions which Allah Azza wa Jal undertakes, which are part of His active attributes. And remember, this is we dealt with this in previous lessons, because of the statement Allah descends at the last third of the night, meaning Allah chose to do that action at that particular time. And this is Allah's choice, Subhanahu wa Taala. ثالثاً إثبات القول لله عز وجل من قوله يقول. Thirdly, we affirm that Allah speaks. Because the hadith says, يقول, Allah says, who? Such and such, who's asking for forgiveness, so I'm going to forgive him. So we affirm that Allah speaks, subhanahu wa ta'ala. رابعا إثبات الكرم لله عز وجل من قوله من يدعوني من يسألني من يستغفرني. Fourthly, we affirm Allah's generosity. Allah's generosity. Because He says, who calls on me? Who is asking me? Who's seeking my forgiveness so I can give him? This is generous. And you know, Allah doesn't need us, and He still does that. You know, usually, if you were a slave to a master in the dunya, he would not be concerned about you, right? He would make sure you're doing hard work and hard labor. He wouldn't come and, you know, say, is there anything I could do for you? Would you like me to get you some cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake, and some green tea? You know, this never happened in the life of, except, you know, among the Muslims, of course, when they had Mulkul Yameen. But generally speaking, and let's say that the enslavery between the white and the black people and so on and so forth, it was horrible. horrible racism that remains up until today, even though they criticize Islam every now and then. Ala kulli hal, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is merciful. He doesn't need us. He is al-ghani. He is as-samad, the absolute, the self-sufficient, the independent. He's still offering all these to his slaves. We ask Allah to help us in qiyam al-layl. طيب وفيه من الناحية المسلكية, and among the practical benefits, أنه ينبغي للإنسان أن يغتنم هذا الجزء من الليل فيسأل الله عز وجل ويدعوه ويستغفره. It is recommended, highly recommended, for the person to take advantage of that part of the night by asking Allah Azza wa Jal, supplicating to Him and seeking His forgiveness. ما دام الرب سبحانه وتعالى يقول من يدعوني من يستغفرني. So long as Allah is saying, who is asking me, who is seeking my forgiveness. ومن للتشويق. من is for what? Is for encouragement. Who? Allah knows who. But this is means of encouraging someone to engage in that. Meaning, who would like to, for example, the teacher will come to class and say something along these lines. Who would like to get an A? And what does that mean? Work hard, get an A, you know, pass the exam, something along these lines. Wallahu a'lam. فَإِنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَسْتَغِلَّ هَذِهِ الْفُرْصَةِ. The Shaykh said, then we should take advantage of this opportunity. لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْعُمُرِ إِلَّا مَا أَمْضَيْتَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. You have nothing, nothing of your life except that which you spend in obedience to Allah. وَسَتَمُرُّ بِكَ الْأَيَّامِ فَإِذَا نَزَلَ بِكَ الْمَوْتِ. And the days will pass. And when death approaches, فَكَأَنَّكَ وُلِدْتُ تِلْكَ السَّاعَ, as if you were born in that hour. When the death comes, it's خلاص. وَكُلُّ مَا مَضَى لَيْسَ بِي شَيْءٍ. And all that which passed will become nothing. And ironically, someone almost died under my house today. And you know, this is our reality, the reality of death. I'm sitting in the majlis or whatever, the living room, and we hear long breaks, you know, when the car is skidding, you know, and then you expect a crash, you know, like a car crash, you hear like a you know, but there was no such thing. So I wondered what happened, you know, this huge break. So I look outside the window, and there's apparently the car was gone. There's a man who was on a bicycle, lying down on the ground. So obviously I ran downstairs, you know, it's a Muslim brother. I ran downstairs, and of course, you know, people gathered within seconds. And the man, you know, he looked like he was dying. Eventually the ambulance took him, so Allahu A'lam what happened to him. But the guy was in a very, very bad state. And he was sitting there, lying on the ground, he's sitting there looking at the sky, you know, his eyes are almost rolling up. You know, and so alhamdulillah, I sat next to him and said, you know, say la ilaha illallah, do tawbah right now, do you want to hear some Quran? Because he was trying to move, he was panicking, it was just scary. So then you realize, I mean, who would have thought? The man was riding a bike like every other day, and he does not know that this could be the last moment in his life. Just crossing the street, a guy, you know, not watching where he's going, and boom, life is over. Now what happens is that each one of us will go through this moment. Or maybe not, unless you die in a split second, right? But either way, assuming that we are in that moment, trust me, we will be regretful. We say, oh, now not at that moment. Now you know you may see angels coming, and it's all said and done. And if the angels that are coming are not beautiful ones, if they are the ugly ones, which is the sign of the bad end, then everyone will say, ya laytani, oh, I wish, and I was being advised, the brother reminded us, you know, week after week, khutbah after khutbah, lecture after lecture. Ah, then we would want to come back, but we will not be able to come back. And all this whole dunya will be equal to a bunch of nothing. Everything will be gone, and it will be worthless. And we will wish that we took advantage.
Today, one plane there.
In India. Yeah. Well, I mean, planes is...
Land in Dubai after land. No, not coming.
Yeah, it's 158 people are assumed to be dead. And another plane. But that's a little different because that's mass, you know. But again, same thing. But, you know, being run over, this was, I saw with my own eyes. That's why I'm narrating this one, not the one in India. Even though that plane crash is not a joke. Also, my own, predominantly, 5 or 6 people survived so far. Tayyib, alhamdulillah. The bottom line is, that's what it is. That's what it boils down to. And then you really think, I was imagining myself this brother, you know, I was just crossing the street to Danube to buy something, and maybe a car would have run me over. And then I would be thinking, you know, what was the last thing I did? Was it an act of worship? Was it a good deed? Or was it something bad? Did I, you know, then we, it's all these will come to mind. So we need to be mindful of that, inshallah. That's what is intended. So we don't want to, you know, turn the classes or the lectures or the reminders into some academic learning, like this is a university, you enroll, then you graduate, say, mashallah, I finished the book, and with no application. This is nonsense. Okay? Either we apply the knowledge or we're fooling ourselves and playing big games, and these games will come to an end when we die. They will be of no benefit on the Day of Judgment. So everything we learn, we must apply to the best of our ability. We're not just learning for entertainment. I hope this is clear, because that's what it boils down to, death. And when death comes, the knowledge will be a hujjah against one of us, not for us. Knowing will be against you, not for you. Doesn't mean stop coming. We need to come, but we need to apply as much as we can. We all have shortcomings. We ask Allah to pardon us all. Tayyib. Al-hadith. Now, this was the first narration. Al-hadith al-thani, the second narration, because now, like I said, for those who are coming late, we have finished the first half of the book dealing with the ayat from the book of Allah. And we have moved on to the second part, which is dealing with the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ, which also are aimed at proving the same things that the Quran proved in terms that Allah, in names and attributes of Allah. So the first narration was the descent. Allah Azza wa Jal descends at the last third of every night. And that hadith is done right now. Al-hadith al-thani, fi ithbati al-farah. The second narration is an affirming farah. What is farah?
Happiness.
Alhamdulillah. Contentment. Pleasure. But farah, happiness is the most accurate translation. وَهُوَ قَوْلُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Now who knows the narration? Who knows the narration which affirms that Allah Azza wa Jal becomes happy?
The husband
sprinkling
the waters on the
wife. I think this one, different context.
The person who said,
this is laughing.
Laughing.
No, we're talking about happiness. That's different.
We have somebody commit sins and ask for again.
Tawbah?
Yes.
Yeah, remember the lecture about Tawbah? Your brothers forgot. طيب. وهو قوله عز وجل وهو قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لله أشد فرحا أو لله أشد فرحا بتوبة عبده من أحدكم برحلته الحديث. Allah is more happy when one of you repents than he mentioned the hadith of the man, and the sheikh will explain it. I'm not going to go ahead of it. الحديث متفق عليه. What does متفق عليه means?
Bukhari
and Muslim, meaning it's agreed upon, both Imam. And if a narration is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, it's over. It's over. طيب لام هذه لام الابتداء لله أو لله حسب الله أعلم. He said this is lam of initiating sentence. This is grammar. We will leave it. أشد خبر مبتدا فرح تميز. قال المؤلف رحمه الله حديث أي أكمل حديث, meaning continue the narration. Now the Shaykh will explain the hadith. Well, hadith أن هذا الرجل كان معه راحلته. The hadith is about the man who had his mount, whatever animal he was riding. عليها طعامه وشرابه. Upon it was his food and his drink. فضلت عن. ضلت. You know this word? Familiar. To go off, to go astray, meaning it ran away from him. He lost it. It was lost. Like someone who's misguided, we say he is lost. فضلت عن. This is improving the Arabic right here. So focus. فذهب يطلبها. So he went chasing after it, looking for his animal. فلم يجدها. He did not find it. فأيس من الحياة. So he despaired of life. He had no hope in life anymore. خلاص. Food and drink. He's in the desert. His mount is gone. You know, he can't call the police. He can't call anyone to help him out. And he can't, how long can you survive walking without, you know, food and drink? ثُمَّ اتَّجَعَ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةً يَنْتَظِرُ الْمَوْتِ. And he went and he lied down under a tree waiting for death. خلاص, he despaired of life. فَإِذَا بِخِطَامِ نَاقَتِهِ مُتَعَلِّقًا بِالشَّجَرَةً. And another narration mentioned that he took a little nap. He woke up and he found his, the what you call it, I want to get the word. Subhanallah. The same hadith is used. The bridle of the mount was hanging from the branch of a tree. The bridle is that thing that you used to maneuver, and you know, the animal. It was hanging from the tree. It's hanging. خلاص. يعني the animal came and it's also tied. Not only came it tied. ولا أحد يستطيع أن يقدر هذا الفرح. I mean, how happy was he? You cannot explain it. إلا من وقع في. Unless you are in that situation, you cannot really estimate the level of happiness unless you are in his shoes. فأمسك بخطام الناقة, and he grabbed the bridle of the camel. وقال اللهم, and then he said, oh Allah, أنت عبد, you are my slave. وأنا ربك, and I am your master. أخطأ من شدة الفرح. He made a mistake due to extreme happiness. This not, and this is of course an evidence that you do not commit kufr if the niyyah is not there. I mean, this is a statement of kufr without a doubt. But the man didn't mean that. He was so happy that he reversed his statement. Instead of saying, oh Allah, you are my slave, I mean, you are my master and I am your slave, he said it the other way around. Even right now I made a mistake, subhanallah. To show you that, you know, it's fine, inshallah. لم يملك كيف يتصرف الكلام. He was unable to articulate his own speech. Now, this is a classical example, and usually I would like to give you a more modern example that we can relate to, because I don't think any one of us be riding a camel now, you know, a camel nowadays. So this is like far fetched. What is more relevant to us today? A wallet. A wallet with your passport and your iqama and your driver's license and 5,000 riyals and all of the valuables that you are so difficult to get, that you know if you were to go through the jawazat and everything to get them back, you will have to spend, you know, the next 6 months of your life going to different, you know, government institutes, and you will lose work, your life may be destroyed. And after you lost your wallet in khalas, you despair that you cannot find it, you know, someone gives you a call, say, excuse me, I found your wallet, you know, on the ground, you know. It's like, no way, right? So this is the kind of happiness that maybe we can relate to. It happened to me, not that I had so many valuable things, but I have lost my wallet before and found it afterwards. Or your keys, something that, you know, you can really appreciate afterwards. Now, and the bottom line is that Allah is happier than that. فالله عز وجل أفرح بتوبة عبدي إذا تاب إليه من هذا الرجل برحلتي. Allah is happier than when a servant repents, turns in repentance to him, than this man we mentioned along with this camel. The story of this man with this camel. وليس الله عز وجل بمحتاج إلى توبتنا. This is amazing. Allah does not need us to repent. I mean, do you really think about this? Think about this. Allah is so happy that one of us repented, if one of us repents, and He doesn't need us to repent anyways. I mean, Allah could just throw us in Jahannam and case closed. No lawyer, no judge, no, you know, intercessors, no one can do jack for you. It's over. Allah rules you, owns you, you, the property, the whole thing. No one can do anything. However, Allah becomes happier than this man when one of us repents. Subhanallah al-Azim. بل نحن مفتقرون إليه في كل أحوالنا. Rather, we are in the state of need to Allah at all times. لكن لكرمه جل وعلا ومحبته للإحسان والفضل والجود يفرح هذا الفرح الذي لا نظير له بتوبة الإنسان إذا تاب إليه. But Allah, due to His generosity, His love, His goodness, His virtue, His generosity, He is happier, He becomes happy in this fashion that we cannot even compare, except because somebody repented and turned in repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal. The Shaykh says, في هذا الحديث إثبات الفرح لله عز وجل. What do we learn from this hadith? Allah becomes happy. A. فنقول في هذا الفرح أنه فرح حقيقي. And we say this is a true happiness. وأشد فرح. Rather, it is even more than the, you know, the average one. ولكنه ليس كفرح المخلوقين. But pay attention, it is not like the happiness of the creation. It's the same principle, brothers, over and over again. When Allah laughs, it's not like that of the creation. When Allah descends, it's not like that of the creation. When Allah ascends, it's not like that of the creation. Anything which Allah does is not like that of His creation. Even the happiness, we don't imagine the happiness of how. Because when you become happy, there's a physical reaction. you know, there's some cells, you know, do send some signals to the brain. It's a long story, I don't know about it, but the bottom line is, there's physical something. Physical formula? No. Reaction? No, there's another term. Anyways, I can't get it right now. The bottom line is, we don't try to apply the happiness that we feel on Allah. The hadith says Allah is happier than such a person. It doesn't mean that their happiness is the same. And the Shaykh will elaborate. الفرح بالنسبة للإنسان هو نشوة وخفة يجدها الإنسان من نفسه عند حصول ما يسره. Happiness in relevance to the human being is نشوة. It's like a climax, right? It's a climax. It's a feeling of anxiety or some good anxiety. And وخفة and lightness. You feel light. You know, you don't feel any pressure, any burden on you, which a person feels whenever something pleasing to him, you know, occurs. ولهذا تشعر بأنك إذا فرحت بالشيء أنك تمشي في الهواء. The Shaykh says that's how you feel if you're happy about something, as if you're walking on air, right? You feel light. You know, it's like you can just fly. Of course, you can't fly. لكن بالنسبة لله عز وجل لا نفسر الفرح بمثل ما نعرفه من أنفسنا. But when it comes to Allah, we don't explain the happiness the same way we know it from ourselves. That kind of feeling which you get, you don't try to apply it on Allah. Why? ليس كمثله شيء. There's nothing like Allah. نقول هو فرح يليق به عز وجل. It is happiness which befits Allah سبحانه وتعالى. It befits His greatness and His majesty. مثل بقية الصفات, the same way we say about the rest of Allah's attributes. كما أننا نقول, and so and as we say also, لله ذات. Allah has an essence, has a being. ولكن لا تماثل ذواتنا. It is unlike our essence and our being. فَلَهُ صِفَاتٌ لَا تُمَاثُلِ صِفَاتِنَا. Then Allah has attributes which are unlike our attributes. لِأَنَّ الْكَلَامَ عَنِ الصِّفَاتِ فِرْعٌ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ عَنِ الذَّاتِ. Because speaking of attributes is a branch of speaking about the essence. If the essence is not the same, then the attributes will not be the same. Why? Because the essence is not the same. And these are only branching off from that root. So, mashallah. فنؤمن بأن الله تعالى له فرح كما أثبت ذلك أعلم الخلق به. أعلم الخلق به. So we believe that Allah عز وجل has a quality of happiness as the most knowledgeable of the creation confirmed about Him, which is who?
Allah.
Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The most knowledgeable of Allah is the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنصح الخلق للخلق. And He is the most sincere in advice to the creation. The most sincere in advice to the creation. وَأَفْصَحُ الْخَلْقِ بِمَا يَنْطِقُ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ. And He is the most eloquent in what He says عَلَيْهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ. So He is more concerned about us being guided. He knows Allah more than anyone. And He is the most eloquent in speech. He can choose the best words. And He said, اللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا. Allah is happier. SubhanAllah. See? So if there was another intent, if there was another interpretation, then the Prophet would have used other words. He would have explained. He would have made sure, because he wants us to be guided, that he will explain to us what could be confusing. He didn't, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what? Because there's nothing confusing whatsoever. طيب. ونحن على خطر إذا قلنا المراد بالفرح الثواب. We are in danger. However, if we say that what is intended by happiness is reward, because this is what the Mu'attila will do. They say, how can you say Allah is happy? We become happy. And if you say Allah becomes happy like us, then Allah is like us. They say, no. What is intended by the hadith is what? Thawab. Reward. Good reward. Let's be more particular. Good reward. لِأَنَّ أَهْلِ التَّحْرِيفِ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَفْرَحِ. The people of distortion, they say, Allah doesn't become happy. Allah does not become happy. والمراد في فرحه إثبات التائب. إثابته عفوا إثابته للتائب. What is intended by Allah being happy is that He will reward with goodness to one who repents. أو إرادة ثواب. Or that Allah intends to give him reward. لأنهم هم يثبتون أن الله تعالى مخلوقا بائنا منه هو الثواب. لأنهم يثبتون أن لله تعالى مخلوقا بائنا منه هو الثواب. They say that Allah has created something which is independent of Him, and that is reward. ويثبتون الإرادة, and they affirm Allah's will and intent. فيقولون في الفرح إنه الثواب المخلوق أو إرادة الثواب. So they say concerning happiness, it is either the created reward which Allah will give to the one who repents, or simply Allah intending to reward this person. But they will not affirm happiness to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالْفَرَحِ الْفَرَحُ حَقِيقَةً. We say to them, no, what is intended by happiness is happiness in truth. Just as you understand it. مِثْلَمَا أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ نَفْسَهُ حَقِيقَةً وَلَكِنَّنَا لَا نُمَثِّلْ صِفَاتَنَا بِصِفَاتِ اللَّهِ أَبَدًا. The same way when we speak about Allah, we intend Allah Himself and we don't intend something else. So we never ever liken the attributes of Allah to the attributes of creation, or more accurately per the translation, we never liken our attributes to the attributes of Allah ever. Ever. طيب. And there's a somewhat of a long discussion here by the Shaykh on things which we discussed before, but I think it's a good reminder for all of us. However, I will postpone the discussion on this issue till next week, inshallah ta'ala. And this wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.